Good morning, everyone. Welcome to FOSDEM. My name is Alon Mironik, and I work for Synopsys, where I manage R&D for the Seeker agents. Seeker, in case you haven't heard about it, or rather haven't heard about it yet, is probably the best IaaS tool out there today. But as fascinating as IaaS may be, it's just not my topic today, so this is the last time I'm going to mention Seeker. Instead, today, I want to talk about DoS, or denial of service, attacks against Node.js applications. Before we start, a quick shout out to the inspiration for this talk. A couple of years back, I attended my first security conference, Global AppSec Tel Aviv, and I got to listen to the keynote talk by Asta Signal. In that talk, she basically said that if we as a security industry want to educate developers about security, it is not enough to have security conferences. We as security professionals need to put ourselves out there. We need to go out and meet developers in quote unquote their natural habitat and talk about security topics in developer conferences, not just security conferences. So in my little corner of the world, this is what I am going to try and do today. Before we jump into things, a couple of technical refreshers. First of all, the Node.js event loop. This is a gross simplification, but for the purpose of this talk, it will probably be good enough. Node.js essentially has a single thread, the event loop, which governs the flow of the program. By default, all the user code, or at least all the JavaScript user code, is executed on this one thread, on this event loop, unless it is delegated to do something asynchronously on a worker thread. Now, in my team, we call Node.js a platform for grown-ups, because if you understand this architecture, if you cater to it, if you write your application in a way that takes advantage of this architecture and write applications that fit this architecture, for example, web applications, which are characterized by short bursts of CPU intensive work between long IO tasks, which can be delegated to worker threads, Node.js can be ridiculously fast. If you insist on writing your code in a way that does not cater to this architecture, Node.js can be painfully slow. The second topic I want to touch on is denial of service or DoS attacks. Now, a DoS attack is any form of attack where an attacker sends a request and causes it to consume large amounts of system resources, be it CPU, memory, IO bandwidth, whatever. And since this illegitimate request is consuming all of these resources, the program cannot serve legitimate requests. In Node.js, this can be especially painful because if an attacker is able to tie up the event loop, the application will be unable to serve any other request as long as this current chunk of work is being executed on the event loop. Okay, so that was a lot of high-level concepts. Some of them may be new to some of you, some of them may not. Let's see a few concrete examples. So the probably most famous form of DoS attack in Node.js specifically and in JavaScript in general is denial of service by regex or redos. Like many other languages, JavaScript, Node.js has a regex class, and what may not be immediately obvious is that this regex is evaluated on the event loop. So I have a really simple application here. It receives two query parameters, regexp, and text, and evaluates the text against the regular expression. Seems innocuous, right? Wrong. Regexes are ridiculously powerful. And although you may intuitively think that the complexity or time complexity of evaluating a regex is linearly dependent on the length of the text, it is not. Regexes, or PCREs at least, Perl compliant regexes, like the one we have in JavaScript, support backtracking, which is essentially the ability of a wildcard or a meta character to refer to a previous group that may or may not contain a meta character. That's a lot of talk. Let's see an example. So I put together here an intentionally stupid regex. Okay. This regex, if you read it, means that the entire string from start to end contains one or more groups of one or more A characters. And then I constructed a string which would be potentially difficult to test this regex against. Okay, this is a series of A's followed by a B. Now, if you try to imagine a string of 10 characters, just try and think how many permutations a regex engine needs to check. 10 characters can be a string of 10 A's, or 10 strings of 1 A, or two strings of 5 A's, or a string of 1 A, another string of 1 A, and a string of 8 A's, and so on and so forth. Now, it's been a couple of years since college, and it's way too early in the morning for me to be doing math, but you can kind of intuitively see that this can get really complicated really fast. So I indeed ran this benchmark, graphed it out, and you can see it gets really bad really quickly. It's all kind of okay until about 29, 30 characters. At 32 characters, this regex takes almost a minute to evaluate on my machine. At 35 characters, it takes almost 5 minutes to evaluate on my machine. And to be honest, I was trying to listen to music on YouTube while I was working. And after 35 characters, I just killed this benchmark because it was taking too much CPU and making the lag in the music unbearable. So this is definitely a real problem. What can we do about it? Well, frankly, quite a lot. First of all, and kind of obviously, if you can, do not allow tainted input, i.e., user-controlled input, to be evaluated as your regex. This isn't always possible. For instance, if you have a search functionality where a user can input wildcards, they usually get translated to regexes. So this isn't always possible, but if you can avoid it, do. If you can't, sanitize or check these regexes and make sure that they are safe. There are a couple of packages that can do this, for instance, SafeRegex, but a quick search will help you find something that fits your needs. Second, kind of in the same lane of thought, if you can, don't allow tainted input, user-controlled input, to be evaluated by your regex. This is usually not possible because we don't usually use regexes to evaluate our own data. We know what our own data is. We use it to evaluate data we do not know. But if you can, avoid it. If you can't, at the very least, use length limits. Length limits are really easy to check. They're really cheap to check. And if you can apply a length limit before sending the string to a regex, you can eliminate a lot of the attack surface because, as we've seen, evaluating regexes gets worse as the string grows. And of course, the best way to avoid DOS by regex is to not use regexes at all. If you can, take a look at the RE2 package. This is not a PCRE compliant regex engine, it is considerably less powerful than the built-in regex, but in exchange to this loss of power, it does assure that the evaluation of a regex is linear linear to the size of the string being evaluated. So a lot of the denial of service behavior just disappears here. If that doesn't apply, take a look at packages like validated.js. For a lot of your needs, such as validating emails, URLs, usernames, passwords, whatever, there are built-in packages, built-in or available packages, available functionality that can already do this validation, either by using regexes, which have been tested as safe, or not using regexes at all. So unless you absolutely need to reinvent the wheel, don't reinvent it. Just use a wheel someone else already invented for you. So those were regexes. Let's look at another type of DOS attack in Node.js. And I am, of course, speaking about JSON. So once again, I have a really simple web application here, which takes a JSON input as a post request, passes it, and returns the number of keys in the JSON. Again, what you do not see here, or what may not be immediately obvious, is that this passing is done on the event loop. So, of course, we need to ask ourselves, how bad is this really? And again, I have a really simple benchmark. I construct the simplest JSON possible, which is a string of A's surrounded by double quotes, making this illegal JSON of various lengths, of course, passing it, and I graphed out the results. So the good news is that the time it takes to pass a JSON object, or sorry, a JSON string into an object is linearly dependent on the size of the JSON. The bad news is that the time it takes to pass a string into a JSON object is linearly dependent on the size of the string, and that JSON is everywhere in JavaScript in general and in Node.js specifically. Unless you're writing an extremely simple application, chances are the way this application communicates with the external world is via JSON, especially if you're using APIs and not just HTML front end. So while the effect here is still linear, JSON is everywhere. JSONs, especially for APIs, tend to be significantly larger than the 30 characters we've seen in the regex example, and you really will have a hard time avoiding JSON altogether. So what can you do? Of course, if you can, do not pass tainted or user-controlled JSON input. As I said, this is usually not realistic. But what you can do is, as always, use size limits. Most web frameworks, such as Express or Happy or Fastify, have built-in limits for their JSON parses. And if you'll excuse the language, most of these built-in limits make very little sense, at least to me. As far as I recall, Express's built-in limit is, or default limit is 100 kilobytes. Happy and Fastify allow a full megabyte. And if your application needs to parse 100 kilobytes or a megabyte of JSON, more power to you. Go for it. But if it doesn't, why allow it? I've seen login forms where you take a username and a password, let's say 8 characters each, another bit of overhead for the JSON format, 30 characters, pack them as JSON, send this to the server. If your legitimate input is 30 characters at most, why would you allow an attacker to send 100 kilobytes or a megabyte of text, have it passed on the event loop? Don't. Get to know your applications, get to know what a reasonable input is, allow for some overhead for edge cases, and limit it at that. Don't let attackers go wild with the sizes here. Now, if you aren't using some built-in framework and you are doing the JSON parsing yourself, you could consider using a third party such as BFJ, Big Friendly JSON, or JSON Stream instead of the built-in JSON.parse. Now, and just to stress this will not necessarily be faster than JSON.parse. Avoiding denial of service isn't just about speed. Avoiding denial of service is avoiding or preventing an attacker from tying up the event loop. Both BFJ and JSON Stream delegate this parsing to a worker thread and do it asynchronously. So even though the total time to parse may take a bit longer, it will not be done on the event loop and will not block up your application. So far, we've seen two examples of how an attacker can create a DOS attack based on the payload they're sending. A different kind of DOS attack, which is not dependent on the payload, can be achieved by using synchronous APIs, which stop the event loop and may hang due to some external reasons. More often than not, although not necessarily, but more often than not, this means storage. So I have a very simple application here. As you can see, there is no user input, no payload to send. You just access the URL, and the application will read a text file and return the contents of it, which is lorem ipsum, etc., etc. Now, what you may notice here is that this reading is done synchronously. We call read file sync. Now, this may be very fast, or we don't know what's going on in the storage. It may be this storage may be served by a misconfigured NFS server or something, and this may hang for 2 seconds or a minute or 8 hours. Yes, true story. I have seen storage servers hang for so long. And especially in today's world, where we don't always control the entire infrastructure because we are moving our applications to the cloud, we should never assume anything about storage, network, any hardware capabilities, and we should always default to protect against this. What does this mean in our world? Well, generally speaking, when we handle storage in Node.js, there are two ways of doing this, two types of APIs. First of all, there is the asynchronous way, where the request gets delegated to the operating system, a worker thread monitors it, and when the operation is done, we get a call back to the event loop with the appropriate data read, written, whatever, with the return value from the operating system. We see this both in built-in modules, like in the FS model, we have read dir and write file. We see this in third parties, which do storage operations or heavy computational operations like ProtFS or FSExtra or ADMZip, etc. So we usually have APIs to do this. Now, if one way to access storage is to use asynchronous APIs, well, naturally, the other way would be the wrong way. As I said, we do not know when anything may or may not hang. If there is an asynchronous API, we should always default to use it. Or at the very least, if you're using the synchronous flavor, have a really good reason why you're doing this, or a really good explanation why this is completely internal and cannot be invoked by an outside attacker. Now, I think I'm getting close to my time running out, so let's summarize. First of all, any code that relies on tainted input, user-generated input, should have some sort of sanitation, validation, protection, whatever. And this is a general good rule of thumb, not just for DoS attacks, but for a whole range of security considerations. Second, a lot of functions have synchronous and asynchronous variants. Usually, this would relate to I/O storage, but not necessarily. We have similar pairs of APIs in cryptographic APIs, in child process, in a bunch of APIs. Whenever you have an asynchronous API, you should probably be using it. And finally, as developers, we are really good at testing, and we have become really good in writing CI pipelines. But unfortunately, a lot of developers treat these CI pipelines as a way to validate functionality, and that's just a part of our job. If we are also responsible to validate the security of our applications, it means we also need to test it as part of our CI pipelines and not wait for pen testing once a year or once a release or whatever. Now, I'm not going to promote any specific tools. This is not a sales pitch. Suffice to say, there are a bunch of excellent security tools, both open source and proprietary. The good ones integrate really easily into your CI pipelines. Do your research, find the tool that fits your use case, and incorporate it into your CI. With that, I'll leave you with a couple of links if you're not familiar with Node.js's guide about using the event loop. I do recommend that you read it. All of the demos and the benchmarks I've shared here are available on my GitHub. Feel free to clone it, play around with it, and of course, patches are welcome. And with that, I will open the floor up to questions once this recording has ended. I do encourage you, if this is interesting to you, if you want to continue discussing, reach out to me on my email, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. I'm not a hard person to find, sorry. By all means, be my guest, and thank you for your time.